Gel's Kitchen Clara, a bright, comfortable, relaxing cafe to enjoy a delicious breakfast, mouth-watering lunch, or grab a fresh handmade sandwich or pastry with the best coffee in town. We cater for all events, big or small, from birthdays, christenings, communions, and so much more, with free parking, covered outdoor seating, and a full takeaway menu. So whatever you're hungry for, Gel's Kitchen Clara have you covered.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
Hi everyone, very welcome back. This is episode 17 of What's the Story. It's still myself, Lloyd Bracken here. Lloyd Bracken in isolation at the moment. I just want to thank everybody for delivering food and messages and all that sort of stuff, keeping us going. Good this week, out of isolation next Monday. So that's good news. 2 weeks home with the kids. It's been fun so far anyway. Also want to thank everybody on last week's podcast, the Expat Chat from around the world. That was a lot of fun and to hear so many Clara people doing well around the world. And lastly, thanks everyone who's bought some of the mugs, the What's the Story and the Cystic Fibrosis mugs. They're available in Serenity Giftware and nearly sold out. There's only a couple left. So that's been brilliant, and all proceeds to Cystic Fibrosis, which is such a great charity. And there's so many great things for people with cystic fibrosis and their families. Right, cracking on, we have a great guy lined up, direct from the USA, Connecticut in fact, moved from Clara in 1981. It's a great pleasure to introduce to you, John Roach. What's the story?
How are you doing, Lloyd?
I'm very well. Keeping? Not too bad, thank you. I'm okay, everything is going all right here. John, we have to get something out of the way first here. You're not a huge Donald Trump or Mike Pence fan.
No, I'm not. No, either.
What did poor Donald ever do to you, John?
What did he not do to the country? That's the problem.
John, you moved from Clara in 1981, nearly 40 years ago. What part of Clara did you leave in 1981?
Well, I was on Bridge Street, right beside the mill, Ranks Mill there, Lloyd. It was just on the bridge there, so it was busy enough for the cars. There was a stop sign right beside our house there, so it was busy enough for the traffic and wise and everything, but it was happy times. There was seven of us, four brothers, three sisters, mother and father, and it was you weren't in the town and you weren't too far from the town. It was just a five minute walk into the town, like, which was grand, you know.
You were the youngest of seven, John. Tell us a little bit about your parents and your family.
My father was a Roach. He was born down in the Green Clara there beside the barracks there, the Garda barracks, and the Roaches came from Clare down in Westmead. They were cattle dealers, you know, they sold bought cattle all over the country. And then on my mother's side, my mother was up New Road. There was seven of those in as well. There was four brothers and two sisters. Five brothers and two sisters. My father was a blacksmith there beside, you know, on the corner, up to the ranks there. There's a corner where Cornies lived there. There was a forge there, and my grandfather was a blacksmith. And then my uncle took over. My grandfather passed away years and years ago. My uncle Jim, he was the eldest of the Ennis family. He took over. He was a blacksmith himself, and he took over. You know, of course, back in those days, it was all horses and donkeys, and there wasn't too many tractors, and you know, so all the farmers, and so it was a busy time for the blacksmith.
Some people out there wouldn't know what a blacksmith was, John. You'll have to tell them.
Well, a blacksmith was he shod the shoes on the horses and the donkeys, and you know, when they need to be shod, and they would bring the horse, and the blacksmith would have to remove the old shoe and replace it with a new one, fit it on, and so it wasn't an easy job. It's some of these big you know, the horses that the farmers use. But you have to be a fearful man, be a strong man to do it, like, you know. So it wasn't for the weak and timid, like we say, you know.
John, go back to your family. You lost two brothers in quite quick succession.
I did in 2015. Jimmy, or Benny, they called him. He lived in Tullamore, to Marid, and Jimmy passed away. So I went home for his funeral. It was Christmas time. And then when I was there, my other brother that lived in Wexford for years, Charlie, he was down in Wexford, and he wasn't doing too well down there. So I went down to see him. we drove down. My sister Jacinta and my brother-in-law Cecil Cox. We went down there, and I saw my brother. But he was in pretty bad shape. He was on a respirator, and he was hardly able to catch his breath. Lloyd, he was in bad shape, so he was transferred to Dublin. Well, I was there for about a week. I went to the funeral of my brother, and then I came back to Connecticut. And then about two weeks after, Charlie was up in Dublin. He was up in the hospital up there, but he passed away as well. So like within a month of each other, right? Yeah. You know, one in December and then the other in January. So that was, and they're only like a year apart in age. So they were very close. You know, even growing up, you know, they were much older than I was. So, you know, there was my sister Rhea was the eldest, and then Bailey and Charlie and Walter, another brother. He lived in Dublin. He lives up in Dublin. And I'm married to Des Bagot, and then Jacinta, she's over in Killy, she's married to Cecil Cox and myself. So
right. So that is a part of being away. I've been talking to a lot of expats, you know, when bad news strikes, yeah. Then it is tough being away, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah. And then, you know, I mean, it's news you never want to get, of course, but you have to do your best to get home and, you know, and get home in time. And because I know Maria delayed the funeral for a day or two and like, you know, try and get it. My way back, but you know, it worked out. But it's never. It was before that. I was back at my mother's funeral. So she was, you know, when she passed away. You know, my father passed. I was only 13 years old when my father passed. He was only 58 years old. My father, he was a young man, and I was in the Boy Scouts at the time, and back in the 68 or that when my father passed away. So
tough times for a 13 year old, John.
Yeah, and you know, and then my mother was on her own, and you know, there's still a family in the house, of course, but you know, gradually they all moved out. Charlie went up to Dublin, then he was in Wexford, and he spent all his life, most of his life in Wexford, and then he got married, he moved out, and in latter years before I came over here, it was myself and my mother and my Uncle Jim, who was the oldest of the Ennis family. He came down to live with my mother down in the house, and so there was the three of us when I left.
Just going back to the Roaches for a minute, I remember we lived across from the Roaches, Jerry Roach, in East right. Green, as we called it. I remember one day U2 came to town. Everybody remembers that. It was in the 90s, I think, Jerry Roach's funeral.
I was home that Christmas night because, you know, I would try and get home every few years. And I remember in the mid-80s in America, we had a civic centre, well, we still have it in Hartford. And U2 came down. They were doing their Unforgettable Fire album, and Sheila Roach was involved with the group. Sheila was one of the youngest daughters of Jerry. She used to go out with Adam Clayton, the bass player, and she was up in Dublin, and she spent over 20 years with U2 because they had an office in Manhattan in New York, and she ran the office for U2. So when U2 came to play in the Civic Center, I got 12 tickets and backstage passes. And I got tickets for the following. They're done two nights in Hartford. I met Bono and, you know, and the rest of the band. But Sheila wasn't able to. Sheila was up and was still in New York. She wasn't able to make the show. But probably, I think it was like 84, 85. And Adam Clayton was pretty quiet. And Larry Mullen Jr., you know, the guys were nice. And they were starting to make a good name for themselves, U2, like their touring and stuff. And that was probably, it was one of my favorite albums, Unforgettable Fire album. So, and then when Jerry passed away, and I think two of them came down for the funeral, and what do you call it? McGinnis was the manager. I think the manager of U2. He came down. Paul McGinnis, yeah. So he came down, and I met him. I went down to Jerry's after, and I met them again. And there was, of course, a big crowd of people. But that was a big thing. The two guys walking down into the church, the U2 guys, you know.
Where would you get any car? Huh?
I know.
Why the move to the USA?
Myself and a good friend of mine, Willie Allen, he's up there, Moat, but he's really Ballycumber Moat Road. It's called Boston Moat anyway. But so myself and Willie was great friends from. I met Willie in the U Club and in Bopa when I worked in Bopa back in the '70s. And so myself, Willie, and Tony Dunn, who was another great friend of mine, were together in the U Club, and we started up the drama. And so the three of us was, you know, talking about one night, and we said, yeah, we'll go for a vacation. So then somebody brought up the thing and said, sure, why don't we go over and try and see if we can work over and stuff. And I was working in Burlington, and Tony was working for the government. Tony had a good job at the government, and Willie was working out in Bordermona, I think, yeah, because Willie had left Bopa then. So anyway, that's So anyway, we decided to...
You weren't unemployed at the time. You were good jobs and then you just up sticks.
Yeah, I was working in a laboratory in Burlington, and St. Tony was working for the government, the Customs and Exiles, something like that, and what he was working. So we were all working. It wasn't because of work, but it was just probably itchy feet, just to see what America was all about, I suppose. And I did have an aunt living in Hartford, so that was the connection for me. And Willie had some relations in Hartford too. And so when we came over here, at least we had somewhere to stay, Lloyd, you know, to get her.
Of course, a lot of people would know Tony as the plumber Dunn, is that right?
The plumber Dunn, yeah. Actually, last time I saw plumber Tony, we called him later on, of course. I was at his wedding years ago, and that was the last time I seen Tony. He wasn't in Clara anytime I'd go home. Tony was never, you know, he wasn't back. But Willie, myself, Willie was always great friends. And Willie was best man at my wedding. And then a year after or that, Willie moved back to Ballycumber, moat area, in a small farm. And Willie had a few sisters, so he was the only boy in the family. So Willie went back to work the farm and work. His mother was there, and mother was on her own with the girls. And, you know, we talked to each other regularly on the phone, and he was over to see me a couple of years ago. We drove down to Nashville, and we done all that in Nashville and Memphis. There last year, we went to see Spurs and Watford. Really? In their new stadium over and over. Yeah. Well, I'm a Spurs fan. Willie's a Liverpool fan, but Willie's son, Larkin, who works up in Dublin, Larkin got us two tickets for the game. And so we flew over to England. We took the train down into Tottenham. And then,
how did you become a Spurs fan, John? There's a lot of them in Clara.
Back in when I was, you know, when we were all grown up, 14, 15 years old, we all picked different teams. And I just happened to pick Spurs. I just started putting them, you know, they all, Martin Chivers, Martin Peters, all those, the old team. And there was Robin Minnock. There was, you know, the different guys had different teams. And the QPR or Arsenal, you know.
I picked Sunderland, but I'm a bit sorry now.
You did? Ah, well, maybe they'll come back, Lloyd. You know, it was a great team, great stadium there, everything, right? You know, great history with Sunderland. You know.
Massive. John, I have a little message here from a friend of yours. See if you can recognise this voice.
Hi, John. I'm delighted to have this opportunity to relate this message. I remember, John, when you left these shores for the Big Apple. And at that time, there was four of us. Four of us used to hang around together. There was myself, yourself, John, another good neighbour of mine, Anthony Plummer Dunn, and the great, of course, Willie Allen. We were all good buddies. And indeed, we got up to various, how would I put it, intellectual activities. I think that's the word or the phrase you'd use, John. But together, John, we had some wonderful times. I think the last time that I would speak to you before you left for the Big Apple, I think it was on a Monday night, John, outside the swimming pool. And it's funny, John, when you think back about it. You and the guys, you wanted me to go to America, to leave the pool and go to America. And just a couple of years before that, another Roach man had got me into the pool. Your brother, Benny, Lord be good to him. So anyway, John, maybe someday we can reunite again, the four amigos, and sink a few beers. John, you and your family were very good friends to me and an important part of my life. Take care of yourself, John, and yours, and I hope to talk to you soon. God bless.
That was the great John Lowe.
Oh, God, John. Oh, God. That's right. I went to see him. One time I was back there, I went up, I met John, and I went up to the house and with a few beers, with a great chat, with a great... John was great. Oh, God, he was...
Thank God he didn't go to America with you. Clara would have lost John Lowe. Jesus.
Oh, God.
Where would we have been then?
Well, I think he could have gone to Hollywood, because I think John... No, really, John was a natural on stage, man. Yeah, I mean, all you do is look at John, and that was it. You know, he was... His expressions was unbelievable. And because we met in the youth club and the drama in the youth club, and then when we formed the drama club in the town, he was a part of that with Tommy Dolan and all of us, and... But John was great. Great laughter with John. Great times with John. Nice, good guy, John. You know.
So. Speaking of acting, you were on the stage yourself a few times, John.
I was. We done. You know, with John. With the musical, the Clara musical, I done. You know, one or two shows just in the chorus and stuff. But in the U Club, we done Smike, and we done Frankenstein. We done a few shows. We done Superstar, but that was only in mime. And, we mind the Superstar, Trevor Cavanaugh, Jimmy Dunn, and John Kennedy, Lauren Mercenum, and, you know, and that was great fun. And then we done Smike. That was a great show. That was, you know, a lot of fun doing that. And we got great crowds every night down at the show. And then we done Frankenstein the year after. I remember Paddy Scanlon. I think Paddy was doing Igor and the right man for the job. He was, you know, Paddy was another man you'd look at and he was so funny with the stuff he would do, you know, with Pierce Dunne. And we had a great crowd of guys and girls down in the youth club. Well, very, very talented, because before we done Smike, the kids done Joseph and Missing Colour Dream Code, and their own Scully and all the younger members, and they've done a fantastic job, Lloyd, you know. So it was great talent in the town, and a lot of members in the youth club went on to be in the musical society in Clare. It was a great stepping stone. It was a great start for all the kids to be on stage and get experience on stage in the youth club. And then when they got older, they could go into the musical society and you know, went from there. Like, it was a great.
Well, John, you did tremendous work yourself in the youth club back in the 70s. What are some of your favourite memories from that? I know you've talking about some shows there, but
we've done shows, and I remember one of the best was myself and Charles was involved with the indoor soccer team with Pat Flanagan, Pat Gagan, and Larry Hackett. There was Tom Fallon. We had a good team, but we never thought we'd go as far as we did. But we ended up down in Limerick and in the All-Ireland final, and we won it. That was one of the biggest things we done with as far as sports in the youth club. And it was it was PJ Fitzpatrick, Pillar Junior. We had with a very talented team, and the guys were, you know, because we were up against the city teams and, you know, teams from all over Ireland, and so the guys went down and, you know, underdogs, and they brought home the trophy, and that was a great accomplishment for the youth club. And we had volleyball teams, the table tennis down there. So it was a great place. It was a great place for the kids to come down twice a week. And Charles and Sean Tracy, Lee and Sean Tracy, and Sheila Berry, Ann Berry, Tony Dunn. And there was we kind of ran things. We went down there early, around 7:30, and we set up everything, the volleyball net, and we had a room where we had a record player and albums in those days, where some of the members could go in and listen to music. And I mean, there was no computers, there was nothing for kids in those days except a few channels on RTE, and the kids would be waiting to come in, you know, to come down, and they couldn't wait to come in. And the parents knew they were safe down there. And especially with Brother Charles running things. And but Sean Tracy and Lily were very good. Sean put a lot of work into it. He was a backbone of the club. I always reckon Sean. And
actually, I had a nice message here from Sean Tracy today. He said to me that about yourself, you were a brilliant manager, a great asset to the youth club. He also said that you always call into him when you come home, and he loved that. He said, lastly, he added, you were doing the musical Jesus Christ Superstar, you were Judas, and that you used an old LP record that you mentioned. And he said you had to play the music, and if there was too much bouncing on the stage, the record would go back to the start.
Oh, God. Well, I remember the dress rehearsal. We had Johnny Duffy and a few lads doing the part of the soldiers. They were bringing in Trevor. Trevor was Jesus Christ. And the guys came in, and they had the big boots on them. Of course, the room when they walked in, the needle skipped, and we're at the end of the album. So that was the end of the boot. So we told them that we were sneakers. And another good one from the show was when we're doing the rehearsal, we had Trevor on the cross, and so we had Trevor's arms tied. Of course, he wasn't he was tied, arms tied, and we had a bit of plywood for him to stand on. Of course, Jim Karen was involved. There's a few lads involved in backstage, and we put up the cross, and next the piece of plywood broke, and Trevor was hanging from the cross, screeching and roaring. So we got him down, and we put a good solid piece of wood on for Trevor to stand up on, you know. So for the cross scene, but that was great. It was a great laugh. Billy Marrow, Lord Mercy and them, and John Candy and Joseph and.
I was just watching the DVD of it myself recently, and I only realised the effort and everything that went into the youth club. It was amazing to watch.
As I said, it was great for us, because there wasn't much else going on, and I mean, there was there was a Cubs there, and there was a, you know, soccer in GAA, there was a musical society, and but for the young people, it was great for them. And to this day, you know, if I see Pat Flanagan or Pat Geoghegan or any of the lads, we always have a great chat about it. I've talked to Trevor. Trevor really, you know, Trevor loves Superstar, and we great memories, Lloyd. And it was, and as I said, it was very safe for the kids to go down there. We never had, and the kids were very well behaved. We had the odd little skirmish, but you know, all Charles had to do was look at them, and that was it. There was not, that would end it. You know, when Charles would give them the look, that was it. There was no more. So when we went away in tours, we went down to Galway, up to County Loud. We went to a few places on the excursions, we said tours, and yeah. Everybody, you know, all the kids were well behaved, and it was great for them. They're among their friends, and it was great for them to get out of town for a day. And yeah, so I was. Oh no! Great memories of the youth club. That was great 10 years. Like, you know,
you mentioned some good characters there, and actually you came across, you mentioned some nicknames like the Pillar Fitzpatrick. I was only talking to someone recently about nicknames in Clara, and the Goo. Where does that come from?
That's right. My brother that was in Dublin, Walter, he had it, and all of a sudden it was Paul and me. So,
John,
I have no idea where it came from or what. It was one of these things, you know.
Yeah, you were a drummer as well, John. You drummed in a good few bands.
My seven Paddy Horn and PJ Rex, Nile Rex, and Tommy Rex, we formed a band. It was called Shalom. I think Francis Ferry got the name for Paddy, because Paddy Horn was very very peaceful man. He was, you know, he hated violence, or if we were in a bar and something was going on, Paddy would be the first to go in there and break up a row or something. So Francis, I think Francis Ferry was the one that came up with the name Shalom, which means peace. Nice. And so we done a few years going around with the lads. And Tommy left, and there was the four of us. There was PJ and Nile Rex and Paddy and myself. And so we do the bar scene, and we done, you know, a few dances, and we done Harriers. And you know, I was, as far as drumming, I was all right. I wasn't great. I wasn't like the Willises or Tommy Scanlon or any lads. And was, you know, but well, we were never booed off the stage. So I'd put it that way, like.
You're a cousin of the great Pat Innes too. Pat was an excellent guitarist and a gent.
Pat was unbelievable. Pat was, well, Lloyd, I'll tell you a story. That's how I got involved with drumming, because Pat got a drum set for Christmas one year. And I was down there, and my seven Pat were great friends. We were more than friends. We were more like brothers, because my brothers were all gone. So I was the youngest. I had a sister, you know, that was closer to me, but Patrick and Richard Dennis, but Richard was away, and then Richard went off to be a doctor, so he wasn't much around Clara. But Pat was home. When Pat was home, when he finished college, and he became an accountant. And but Pat had it anyway. Earlier days, Pat had a drum set, so you know. So I started playing drums, and then Pat got guitar. Lucky enough, Pat got the guitar, because he became one of the best guitarists that ever came out of Clara.
He did in the country, I believe. Yeah.
Pat had great talent, and a nice guy. And yeah, Pat came over for my wedding, and he came back over the following year. He spent a few months with myself and my wife at the time. And Pat loved America. I'm glad he loved America. He had a great time here. And we kept in touch a lot. Every time I go home, I meet up with him and come over to the house. And when my mother passed, I'd be up at Nan's, and he came up to me, and we go for a few drinks. And then latter years, he lived in Tullamore, Pat did, and I'd be out with my sister that lives up in Killy. So we'd all meet up in the court hotel, because Pat was only like a five-minute walk from the court where he lived in Tullamore. And Pat on the music, he was a part of the music for the shows and, you know, musicals and Superstar and all those. And
yeah, I had the pleasure of playing with Pat a few times myself.
Is that right?
I always look forward to it. It was absolutely fantastic.
Pat was...
He was just a guy that would put you at ease. You know, I'd be nervous playing with Pat, and I'd play with Alan Rex and that. And he was very good.
And I missed a lot of that, because I said I was away, so I never heard Pat actually live, because, you know, I'd be away and then I'd come home. And a lot of times I'd come home, I'd be only in Clara for a day or two, and we'd be gone. I'd be gone on the Westford with my brother, or we'd be gone traveling. Like, you know, the way it goes, you know.
Yeah.
And Pat was great. You know, I mean, as I said, he was... We were more like brothers. We were very close. And when I got the news, my sister called me, and it was a Sunday night, and she called me and told me, and I couldn't, I just couldn't believe it. It was like I was shocked. Yeah, I could have fallen down, you know.
Yeah, still is a huge shock to the people in Clara here.
And every time I go back now, he's got a beautiful stone there in Tullamore. This in the graveyard in Tullamore, he's got a beautiful headstone, and he's just down from my brother Jimmy Binney. He's buried here in Tullamore as well, and he's not too far, you know, just down there, just down a bit from where the graves are. And I always go in there and visit Pat's grave. But so that was a great shock. That was a young man in the late 50s, Lloyd. It was crazy, you know.
Do you find coming home gets harder each time with unfortunately people passing away and that?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, you go to Clare now. In the past, so many years now, I wouldn't know anybody in Clare except, you know, if I met Christy Ricker, Pete, or Michael Ricker, or some of the lads. Or last year, I met up with Joe Kennedy and Jackie because their elder brother John had passed away, and John was good friends of mine. You know, we're together in the youth club, and John left America before I did, actually, and. John spent some time in Hartford with Eddie. Eddie is down in Las Vegas now, but John and Eddie were in Hartford for a while, and then John moved away. And that was the last I seen of John. So that was a good few years ago. But John was gone. Yeah. So when I heard John pass, that was a shock too. And then another good friend of mine just passed away not too long ago, Sean Rickard, up there in Church Street. And Sean lived across the road from John Kennedy. So that was two neighbors. Young men that passed away, and 2 or 3 years ago, I was home, and Sean Ricker was home. I got in touch with him through Facebook, and that was one good thing about the Facebook and Messenger. I got to reconnect with like Michael Dunn, who's over in Germany, and Sean was in England, and lads I hadn't heard from in years, and so myself and Sean connected, and I told Sean I'd be home. I think it was 3 years ago, and so Sean came home, and we met up in Baggots, and we had a great night. And Joe Kafai was there with his wife and me, and my partner Cathy. We were there, and Sean was there, and we got some photographs, and we had a great night. And it's a great friends, great nice and good guys. You know, John Kennedy and Sean Rickard were great guys, never in trouble, and you know, nice guys and great men in the youth club as well with the young people. Because Sean actually went to when Sean was involved with me, Sean actually went over to Holland with some of the lads because they had a factory in Holland. So Sean went over there, and then I think he went over to England. Then so I hadn't seen Sean since it was the late 70s when Sean left. So I hadn't seen Sean in years and years.
What was Bopa like back then? By all accounts, he'd want to be good at the slagging up there.
Oh, Jesus, fierce. God, Dirty McMahon and all these guys. Oh, God, Jimmy Kennedy. And if he ever got handy on you, that was it. That was the whole place to know about it. And one in the morning, it'd be very quiet up. Everybody would have their heads down. A lot of guys would hangovers and everything. You know? But a Friday, there'd be a sing-song going on Friday. They all leaving for that. Everybody leaving for the weekend, and all the lads up there. Sure, it was good. It was a good factory and good money, and you know, so there wasn't much around then. Like, you know, the factories, the ranks was closed, and the poly was closed, but they had the poly, and but as far as unemployment, it was a godsend for Bopa to be in the town, Lloyd. You know.
John, I have another message here. It's a message from my father. Believe it or not.
Oh, God. Well, John, how's it going? Paddy Bracken here. What you thought I was dead? Well, I'm not alive, John. I'm delighted you're doing this interview with Lloyd, because you were always part of everything that was going on in Clare down the years. And the people would be delighted to hear your voice and all your stories. You used to have a great laugh long ago with you and Paddy Horn and Pat Hinnis, Tommy Scanlon, and the great Trevor Kavanagh. It was absolutely great. We'd be slagging over the drumming. I know I never got the hang of it, but however. And I bought your drums when you were going away, John. And I was sure I got a few tips from them. But I didn't in the long run. So, John, I wish you the best of luck and hope to see you soon in Clara. Good luck, John.
So now that's the man himself.
Oh, good. And he looks very well. I just saw the video there. There was a video I saw, and he was in whites doing it. He done was like an all-star or something,
right,
something white, and he was telling a few jokes, and, you know, typical Paddy, you know.
Well, he did a speech. I think it's still going on. Everyone else.
Oh, okay. But we were, back years ago, they had myself, Martin Riley,
Tommy Stones.
Tommy Stones, that's the man. Tommy Stones, and Pat, it was called Pat's People. And Manny and I went down to Lasby. My son Willie would go over here to Lasby to be in Clebegan or Maud or somewhere. And of course, your father and the drums. It was a lot of great memories with your father and the jokes he would tell and the lads playing away. Sure, it was great. It was a great crack, and there was great times.
Did you ever play music in the States, John?
No, I never got back involved with this. We do karaoke and singing a few songs that way, like, but there wasn't much going around here for Irish music and stuff music, and I was just trying to get my feet when I came over. I was trying to get my feet on the ground and try and get a job and stuff, and that's what I was really aiming for, just to get established here at Lloyd, So
what did you establish yourself at there?
There was a good population of Irish in Hereford, and I started doing landscape and then construction. And then, of course, I got married, and I got my green card. I became a citizen. I was fine, but as I said, I still didn't have a trade. But about 25, 26 years ago, I was lucky enough to meet two clear men who was running a nursing home for Sisters of Mercy here over in West Hereford. And I got a job there in the maintenance department. And I learned a lot from them, as plumbing and electrical and carpentry. And, it was all about repair work. And we looked after the outside. We looked after all the landscaping and flower beds and everything. So that was a great experience, Lloyd. I was there for 10 years, and that closed down. And then I worked for a few months when I got a job with West Hereford Housing. It was like a state job there, that. And I got in there in maintenance, and we had two properties. We looked after the properties, and it was elderly tenants, and we had two properties at the time, but now we've got six properties. And so I've been there for 14 years, Lloyd. And so I just put in my notice there last week. I'm going to be retiring in at the end of November.
All right.
Before the snow comes. Right. I hate snow, so I want to get out there before we get snow. But yeah, I just turned 66 in July, Lloyd. So
what's the plans for retirement, John?
Well, myself and my partner, Caddy, we like to travel a lot. And, I hope to spend more time in Ireland, of course. And as I said, we love to travel. We were over and, we met about 4 years ago. And the first year we went to Italy, and then 2 years after we went to Switzerland, and we've been, of course, to Ireland a few times. And last year we went down to myself and my son Jack and my daughter, who lives out in San Francisco with her husband. We all met in Ireland, and Willie Allen and Mary came down with us, and my sister Jacinta and her husband Cecil, and we all went on to spend a few days and rent a house in Killarney. So it was a great time. It was the first time my son was there in years, and my daughter and her husband was there, so that was a great reunion, Lloyd. So as I said, we'd love to. I could still do a little bit of part time work there, or whatever. But so far, no plans. But hopefully, we'll get to travel again, Lloyd. We'd love to travel, especially.
So if you ever get back to Ireland and do this reunion with John Lowe, I want to be there.
Oh God!
I'll have to bring my father as well.
Yeah. God, it's funny, because sometimes I'll be back, and sometimes I wouldn't be there in the weekends, and I know some of the lads wouldn't be around, so I'd be up in Baggots or somewhere up in the bars, and I might meet a few lads, but it was kind of quiet there a lot of times that I'd be home, Lloyd, unless I got in touch with somebody. And actually this year is the 50th anniversary of the U Club. It started in 1970. Right. And they were early in the year. I was saying to Caddy, my partner, I said, I would love to get in touch with Trevor and Sean Tracy and the wife and Michael Dunn, who's in Germany, because Michael's back and forth pretty often, and see if we could get like a reunion around Christmas time, So because it's been, it was like an anniversary, Lloyd, So
would you ever come back to Ireland to live, John?
I don't think so. I would definitely would like to spend more time, but I've got my roots here now as well, and family here, and a lot of good friends here, but I would definitely like to spend more time in Ireland, Lloyd. And actually, my daughter just got her Irish passport, so my son, so they have, they love Ireland too. And I think my daughter's a bit of a traveler. She was in Boston, and now her son and husband is in San Francisco, but I can't see her staying too long in San Francisco. I was chatting her last night, and Actually, her birthday is going to be this Wednesday. And but I can see her going to Ireland and even Europe. So, you know, that's the way, you know, so.
Actually, while you're on the subjects of birthday there, I have to wish my grandniece, Sophie, a very happy birthday coming up this week. She's living in New York. So I just took that opportunity there, John.
Well, very good. Happy birthday.
So, John, like when you were back here, you were involved in so much. You played soccer in GEA as well, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I wasn't great. And I played for, underage Gaelic and junior Gaelic. I was never on the senior team. But I played with the Clara Town senior team with, with Ray Horn and Eddie Hines and all those lads. And we won a few trophies. And so that was good times. We spent a Sunday morning, but we picked up in the bus and go away and play the soccer games. And it was good. It was good. Paddy Dolan, Lordy Mercy, and Joe Scanlon, and all those lads were, there was some good teams in Clare. Ray Horn was a great soccer player. Paddy Hines, great soccer player. There was some, Noel McCarty, some great players, John O'Hara, and, with some Mickey Ricker, some great teams in the town. And with an A team, and I think they still do have that, of an A team and a B team. So if you're on the B team and you're playing really well, then you might get promoted up to the A team. It was a big thing, Lloyd. And then when I was in Bopa, we had a soccer team in Bopa as well. All the guys, because a lot of those guys worked in Bopa, and so we had a soccer team in Bopa, and then there was a team in the town, and sometimes we'd have a playoff for a cup we would have up in Mani Square and Bopa versus the town, and that was good rivalry, good fun, the lads.
You'd want your wits about you in that match, I'd say, John.
Oh, God, yeah, that was good, Barry Connolly was involved, and it was great times in the town.
John, you shared a lovely photograph on Facebook the other day, yourself and Catch Berry.
Oh, God, Catch, oh, man.
Brilliant photograph.
I was just in touch with his family there, on Facebook, and I was just saying that, now when the last few times I went back, and it was always great going back, because that always, when my mother was alive, I would stay in my mother's house, and I just walk up to Riverview in the Catch, and Steph and Anna be there, and the sweetheart, of course, she was great, and Catch was great, and we'd have a cup of tea and we'd have a great chat, and Catch was a pure gentleman, a great man, and then some nights we'd myself and Willie we'd have the car, and Willie come over, we'd pick up Catch and go for a night, for a few drinks and a laugh. And sure, you're never without a laugh with Catch. His Catch would have you stitching too. He was a great.
Have a lovely piece of audio here of Catch singing. We'll have a little listen.
God. Yeah. I'm by your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't.
Down and out when you're on the street. Nice memory there from Catch.
Well, Catch was the best, and the family, great, nice family, right? Ollie and Paulie, all the family is a great family.
Great family. Where would you get a singer like that? I mean, that's as good as anything, is it?
and then Catch was Sarah Yodeling, he's very yodeling as well.
He was.
And, and family, and I said, like, that's one thing I miss, and that's, you asked me about coming, when I come back to Clare, and, when I do go back, that's one thing I miss. I miss meeting up with people, that was one thing I always would. Every time I go back, the first day or two, I'd be up in Riverview with Catch and have a great chat and, catch up in times, and Anne was there, and then when Anne passed, Catch was on his own with some of the younger members of the family, and but it was always great. It was always a great time to up the
Catch. We have Catch's music on YouTube for anybody who wants to hear it. Catch Berry. It's called The Berry Vest. The Berry Vest of anybody wants to hear it. It's great.
I saw that. I played it one night. Our Catch was great. I mean, great character as well. And he was in the civil defense. And he was, sure. What can you say about Catch? He's a legend in Clare. All over the Midlands, he was so well known. And loved all over the Midlands, Lloyd, not Catch watching it. So
John, we're going to do a quick fire round here.
All right.
So you're ready for this, John Roach on the quickfire.
All right.
By the wonders of modern technology, what actor would play you in a movie?
Russell Crowe.
First album you ever bought?
Oh, Songs of the Key of Life.
Favourite part of the USA?
Oh, Connecticut, where I live.
Best thing about Clara?
The people.
First thing you'd buy if you won the lotto?
I'd probably buy a place in Florida and buy a place in Ireland.
Offaly winning an All-Ireland or Spurs winning the Premiership?
Oh, Jesus, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. God, I can't answer that one.
favorite country visited?
Italy.
Bill Clinton or Barack Obama?
Obama.
Favorite singer or band?
Pink Floyd back in the day and ELO.
And the last one, Mauricio Pochettino or Jose Mourinho?
I love Pochettino. He didn't get the support he deserved. That's why I said.
Yeah. That's the quick fire round, John. Well done.
Yeah.
John, I had a lot of messages in. Trisha Duffy said hi. Sean T. O'Brien said hello. Jimmy Kidney actually wanted to know, do you remember the disco in the Burlington in 1981?
Oh, Jesus.
Declan Daly was in touch also. And Trevor Kavanagh sent in this message. There could be questions to be answered after this.
Great story about a band that were practicing at the back of Walter Ennis's house in the shed. Pat Ennis and the late Pat and John Roach were the two main men in it at the time. And I think at that particular time, Leslie Duffy, the late Leslie Duffy, could have been the third member. So the boys had their up-to-date, state-of-the-art plastic guitars, and John Roach's kit of drums were made up of biscuit tins. They also had their microphone stands at the time, but they had no mics. Now, at the same time across the road, if John Roach will remember anyway, Tom Nocton's petrol pumps, Tom around the same time got in new petrol pumps. But you can probably see where this is going. Tom went out early one morning to look at his new petrol pumps and the nozzles were missing. The case went cold anyway for a few weeks until Walter Ennis went out to the back shed looking for something and discovered the nozzles from the petrol pumps. Apparently, the lads had taken the nozzles to use them as microphones. Now, Pat Ennis has passed, Leslie Duffy has passed, so there's only one man can answer the question, where did the nozzles go or who took them? And I think you have them on the radio at the moment.
Oh, God.
Now, John Roach, there's implications
here. I don't remember that.
Are you going to plead the fifth on that?
I will.
Actually, Trevor wants to know, where did that yellow bike ever go, the racing bike?
I sold my bike to Jimmy Doyle's son in the green before I left.
Right, so that's where it's in the green.
That's where it was. I met him one night in the bar years later. I was chatting with him. They were only young lads then. But that's where I think I sold the bike. And then, of course, I sold the drums to your father. I think your father was starting off with the sailors then, I think.
That's Lloyd. Right, yeah. Probably still has them drums somewhere.
Probably. But Trevor was great. And I was home a few years ago. And actually, I went up to see Trevor up to the house and with a great chat. And sometimes it's easier to see people in their own house rather than go somewhere because, you know, sometimes they don't want to leave, they don't want to go out or whatever. But as long as I can be in touch with people, and now it's easier with everything. So as long as I can touch with people, I can.
Well, it's easier now through Facebook and that. Now. It's harder now to go to people's houses with social distance and everything.
Oh, no. With everything that's going on online now, it's harder now. But I'm just in regular times now, especially now with.
Yeah.
With Messenger and Facebook, I can get in touch with the lads before I go over there. And
so, John, any advice for the younger generation?
I was listening to Danny Rabbit here a few weeks ago, and Danny was saying the same thing. Education is so important, you know. Like, if you can go to college, I mean, college is not for everybody, of course, but get a degree or go get into a trade, like, because you know, as much as you got a degree in something or you got a trade, you can't go wrong anywhere you go in the world. If you're a carpenter, electrician or whatever, but you're more independent, you're more secure.
John, the last question, if you have 23 days to go in the US elections, call it, John. Who's it going to be?
Biden. I think so. I think it's time for a change. I mean, it's, Yeah, definitely Biden. He's I think it's good. I think, you know, the country definitely needs a change. It can't go on like this. It's in bad shape at the moment. Bad leader. I think it's Biden. Biden is the man. Yeah.
You heard it here first, everybody.
Yeah, I think so.
John, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast. It was a great chat. Light. I enjoyed it.
Light, I appreciate it. And best of luck to you and everybody in Clara. Give them my best.
I will. And enjoy your retirement in November.
All right. Thanks, Lloyd.
Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run. The highway is my home. I raised a lot of cane back in my younger days. My mama used to pray my crops would fail. Now I'm a lonely fugitive with just two ways. I'll run the law or spend my life in jail. Settle down, but they won't let me. A fugitive must be a rolling stone. Down every road, there's always one more city. I'm on the run, the highway is my home.
Gels Kitchen Clara. A bright, comfortable, relaxing cafe to enjoy a delicious breakfast, mouth-watering lunch, or grab a fresh handmade sandwich or pastry with the best coffee in town. We cater for all events, big or small, from birthdays, christenings, communions, and so much more, with free parking, covered outdoor seating, and a full takeaway menu. So whatever you're hungry for, Gels Kitchen Clara have you covered.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.